Hey, what's up, Flatirons Online? So glad that you guys are joining us. My name's Josh. I'm the campus pastor here at our Aurora campus. Man, we just love our online community. And one of the reasons why is because you can watch us from anywhere. Maybe you're here in Colorado, in the United States, or maybe even across the ocean. Man, we're just so glad that you're here. Would you leave us a comment down below? Let us know where you're watching from. And hey, if you are local, I'm standing in our lobby at our Aurora campus. We have 5 locations across the Denver metro area in Lafayette, Longmont, Denver, Aurora, and West. We would love to see you at one of our physical locations. So come check us out. We would love to see you in person. And hey, would you do this for us? Would you share this video? Man, if you love what's happening here, if you're impacted in any way by today's service, would you share and like this video? And if you haven't already, would you subscribe to our YouTube page? We would love to stay connected with you as God continues to do amazing things here at Flatirons. Hey, we love you. So glad that you're here. Enjoy today's service.
So good for you to be here today. Hey, I want to kind of put my happy Mother's Day to all the moms and nanas and grandmas and things like that. Hey, all of our campuses are together right now, but also I want us to do a shout out because through our partner, God Behind Bars, and the Pando app, right now we're being streamed in jails and prisons all across our country, and there are moms there that can't be with their kids and people that can't be with their moms. So would you just welcome those ladies to Flatirons right now? Come on. So good. Yeah. I'll be honest, this is my first Mother's Day since my mom went to heaven in September. So I'm checking in pretty tender right now. So let me just do this, and maybe this is all you needed to come to church for today, is I want to seriously encourage you to reach out to your mom today. And some of that just landed like a ton of bricks for some of us. We haven't talked to them for a while. Here's what I know is that time goes really, really, really quickly, and all those things that you think that you have plenty of time to get to, all those plans and conversations and apologies that you're going to get to one of these days, you're going to ask for forgiveness, you're going to offer forgiveness. Let me just tell you this. This is just truth. The clock runs out. And so don't put off what you need to do today for another day. Do it. Like, get up and go do it right now. It may be the most important thing that you've ever done, because a day comes when you can't. And we don't want to live with regrets. Does that make sense? Yeah. Last night, I just saw a whole bunch of people just go, oh, crap, I wish I didn't go to church. But anyway, but you did, so welcome. But that actually kind of brings me to what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about time, all right? Here's what we know about time. We all have the same amount of minutes per day. Nobody gets extra, right? We all choose how we're going to spend our minutes. And here's what we all have in common, too. Once those minutes are gone, you can't get them back. I don't care if you're a Christian or not. That's just true. That's data. That's just facts. Hold on to that, okay? So over the past month in here, we've been using a metaphor, one of my favorite reality shows, Alone, we're calling our series Alive, but where contestants are dropped off in the wilderness on an island or in Canada someplace for an unknown amount of time. And they're allowed to bring with them a few survival items to bring with them that they believe are like the most important tools that will help them not just not die, but thrive, like really flourish out there. And what we've been doing is we're comparing to what is it that a Christian, like someone like us who's following Jesus, what are we going to need in our spiritual backpack if we have any hope of thriving, not just not dying, thriving in our Christian life? The Bible calls it enduring to the end. How do we keep going until we finally get to see Jesus face to face? Either he splits the sky and comes and gets us, or like my mom, we go see him, right? How do we keep on going and enduring, especially in a world that seems to be more and more hostile to Jesus and his followers, and what Jesus says leads to an abundant life? You agree with that? Have you watched the news this week? It's nuts, okay? And it's gonna get worse. It just is, all right? I've read the end part. It's rough, okay? So anyway, here's what we've covered so far, and you can go back online because I don't have time to go through all this, but like any survival thing, you gotta have fire, right? For warmth and energy. Our fire as followers of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. We have to have shelter. We have to abide in God's word, in his truth. We have to be able to communicate, right? That's called prayer. It's how we talk to and hear from God. And I love Ben's talk last week. We have to have an axe, which is worship, right? It represents repetitive obedience every day. Worship is more. We've got to move on. Worship is more than singing songs. Worship is all week long in daily repetitive obedience. If you sing songs, if you show up at a building like this on Saturday or Sunday or whatever, after living a whole week apart from God, it's not worship. It's just singing songs about a God you don't follow. and it's not worship. And as a matter of fact, the book of Isaiah says, God hates it because your hearts are far from him. But when your hearts are running after him and then you sing a song, now we're talking, right? So today the symbol of what we're gonna need in our spiritual backpack is a watch, okay? It's a watch, which you might think if you're out in the wilderness like or on a deserted island, why would you need a watch? Who cares what time it is? And here's the answer, you ought to, yeah, and here's a takeaway for the day, right? Timing is everything. And let me explain that, okay? So whenever I watch a show like Alone or Naked and Afraid, and my wife and I, I have a great joke there, but I think I already told it. But anyway, I can almost 100% of the time, in the first 5 minutes, I can tell you who's gonna tap out first. It's always the same. It's always that man or that woman who thinks, this is gonna be easy, I'm gonna knock this out, who thinks that they're gonna nail this. It's that big muscular dude, so I was in the military, or it's that woman that says, I don't need a man to help me or with anything. It's not confidence, it's arrogance. I got this, all right? And from the moment they get dropped off, the moment they get there, they go at 100 miles an hour. They ignore the weather, it doesn't matter. They don't stop for water. They ignore the fact that they're burning calories, but they're not taking any calories in. Or then they eat something, they think that looks good to eat, but it's not good to eat. And in less than 2 days, they slip and fall and they break something. They make a stupid mistake, they get hurt, or they're laying on the ground puking or from dehydration or exhaustion, and they're medically evacuated out. It happens every time. Meanwhile, and I don't know how they do this, but there's always a contestant with that person, and he or she, they pace themselves, right? They find a water source, and it's, if it's on the equator in the heat of the day, they find a tree, and they get under that tree until the temperatures come down so they don't burn up, or they wait until the blizzard is over before trudging through the snow so they don't freeze to death. They go out and they gather firewood before they need firewood, all right? They pace themselves. Timing's everything. They prioritize what needs to be done and what can wait till later. Again, timing is everything for enduring to the end. Probably the closest I've come to experiencing anything close to that was about 20 years ago. In a moment of insanity, I trained for and ran the Chicago Marathon. Do not email me. I'm not going to run another one. It's stupid. I don't know why I did it. That's what cars are for. If you're going to go 26 miles, buy a car. All right. So anyway, but I did it. I'm back, right back. But one of the things I learned early on in that training is this, especially on race day, stop at every water stop along the route and drink plenty of fluids. Don't wait until you're thirsty to get a drink, because if you do that, it's already too late. Here's what I'm gonna talk about today. It's all about pace and hydration, and if you screw up either one, you're done. Not because you don't wanna keep running, but because you can't. Does that make sense? Right? Now, everything I've talked about so far is actually a metaphor for a part of the Christian life that gets very little mention, at least gets little credit for being called a spiritual discipline. And that's this idea that I want to talk about today is how do you rest? The biblical discipline is called Sabbath. We're going to talk about, you've heard that before. But Sabbath is not just a spiritual discipline. Sabbath is a command. God commands his people. And we're going to read some verses today. It talks about his people, the people of God, that's us, all right? God commands his people, take a breath and rest. And at the heart of every command that God gives us, he's giving it to us not because he gets something out of the command, but because he knows that when we obey his command to rest, it actually works out well for us. Now, let me say that again, because there's gonna be a quiz later. I'm gonna ask you some questions and I want you to try to answer them, right? First, and this applies to Sabbath and resting, but really any command from cover to cover in this Bible that you hear from God, you gotta keep this in mind. First of all, God's commandments are not conditional to receive his love. If you'll do this, then I'll love you. No. God's commandments are confirmation that we already have his love, right? If God didn't love us, why does he care what we do? Go out there and do whatever you want. I don't care. But if he loves us, he's looking out for us, right? God's commandments are given to us so we can experience the best possible life that he has in mind for us. They're given to us for our good. God does not command us to do something because God needs something from us. Write this down. God doesn't need anything from you. He's God. It's not like God's in heaven going like, if you would kick this in, then I could get some stuff done. No, God doesn't need us. It's for our good. He gives commandments for our good. We're going to be in Exodus chapter 20. If you have a Bible with you or a Bible app, it's a very famous chapter. When we get into it, you're going, oh, I've read this one before. It's the most famous command for us to rest. It's found in the Ten Commandments. Let's look at this, Exodus chapter 20. And then we're going to look at it another place, all right? We're going to look at a lot of Bible today. Buckle up. Okay, here we go. So Remember the Sabbath day, that's the seventh day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock. Your cows aren't even allowed to work on the Sabbath, right? Or the visitor who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the first time that command is given to us, all right, we are commanded to rest and remember that the Lord made heaven and earth and then rested on the seventh day. Here's a newsflash. God did not rest on the seventh day because he was worn out from 6 days of hard work. Oh, that was tough. I'm gonna take a nap. That's not it, okay? Rest, when it says that God rested on the seventh day, it means this. He ceased from working. He set apart the seventh day for us and made it holy. He set it apart, a time to stop working. What are we supposed to do on the Sabbath? Remember who created everything. Remember who provides everything for you. In other words, work hard for 6 days and then stop and remember who made it all possible. And I know some of us in here, we are driven people. We are workaholics. And it's like, I'll tell you who made it possible. I worked hard all week. God didn't work hard. I worked hard. That's why I made the money. I did this. Okay? Try to do that without God. Try to do that without God. Have two cells in your spine separate. Let's see how you do then. Right? The weather can go, a hurricane, a tornado can go through your neighborhood. Let's see how you do then. All right? All is provided by God. So that's in Exodus chapter 20. Now, a few years later, in the book of Deuteronomy, if you want to look there, chapter 5, Moses repeats this command from God right before they're supposed to cross the Jordan River into this place called the Promised Land, modern day Israel. But Moses expands the purpose of Sabbath. Look at this version of it. Deuteronomy 5 says this, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Now here's the reason why. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So this time, the command to rest on the seventh day is to remember that God rescued them from slavery, that God kept his promise to save them, which he did. That's in chapter 5. In chapter 6, one of the main reasons to keep these commands, so moms lean into this, is the reason is this. So you can teach your children. So parents, there's certain things that we do to impress upon our children. We're going to look at what we're going to impress upon them. There's a reason why we get up. It's a hassle to get your kids ready for church. I know that. To fight the traffic, to get them into kids ministry, and then go fight the traffic again and get them out. I know, but why is that so important? Why is it so important that you show up week after week after week after week? And you could just stay home and watch it online, and that's a dig for you people online, by the way. But when we get up, it is. It's get out of bed. Get to church. Anyway, here's why. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to get so many emails, all right? Send them to Jesse, by the way. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you and to observe in the land you are crossing, the Jordan to possess. So that's Israel. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. And this next verse is probably the most famous verses in the Old Testament. If you're Jewish, you say these verses in the morning when you get up. You say these verses at night before you go to bed. It's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. I say that in every wedding ceremony I do. Echad. He shall make the two one. It's the same word. He takes two things and makes them. We have one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, right? Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. You know this, with all your soul and with all your strength. Jesus answered this with these verses when he says, what's the most important command? Right there, right? These commandments that I give you are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. It actually means carve them into your children. Really, right? Talk about them when you are on the road, when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. That means all day long. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, that's a lot. That might be a record for Bible verses. For me anyway, all right? So there's a lot. So let's hit pause, all right, and review what we've covered so far. Quiz time, okay? Why does God give us commandments in the first place? Because he loves us. If he didn't love us, knock yourself out, do whatever you want, okay? He loves us and he wants to provide the best life possible for us and protect us from anything that might want to take that life away from us. So he puts rules and guardians around us to protect us. Next question. When God gives us the commandment to practice Sabbath and rest, what is he protecting us from? Don't forget the Lord and what he has done for you. Well, what do we need to remember about what the Lord has done for us? Wow, there's a list. How about he saved us and brought us out of slavery and condemnation of sin through Jesus? Remember, there was a day when it owned you. There was a day when death owned you. There was a day when you thought about death all the time. There was a day when you thought about addiction all the time. There was a day when you thought about defeat all the time. There was a day when you didn't have hope. There was a day when you were enslaved to something, and then he saved you. And he's saving you right now. Well, how does practicing Sabbath protect us from forgetting about the Lord and what he's done? Let's go back to running a marathon. It's all about pace and hydration. And if you screw up either one, you're done. Not because you don't want to keep running after the Lord, but because you can't. Now, let me explain this, okay? I'm going to tie all these illustrations together. I'm talking really fast because we're going to beat the Baptist to brunch. Let's go. All right, so here we go. That's an old church joke. Some of you are going, who are the Baptists? Never mind. All right, so please hear this. I've had some caffeine today. All right, so following Jesus is not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's an endurance, right? That show alone, right? It's not an overnight camp out in the backyard. You're out there for days, weeks, and months. Many Christians, this is some of us, all right? We started so well, remember? We were fired up for Jesus. We came down during that song. We got baptized in a hot tub, a lot of us, thousands of us, right? We started so well, and then it kind of got exhausting. And then we just like, if we haven't yet, we're about to just go, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. Why? Because just like those contestants who hit the ground at 100 miles per hour, we're working really, really, really hard to try to change the way we act, change the way we talk, change our bad habits of our life. We work really, really, really hard to change our whole life. And when you work really, really, really hard every day over and over and over without taking any in, like hydration or taking a break and resting, you'll wear out and quit. Not because you don't want to change, but because you can't change your own life. If you could, you already would have, if hard work worked, right? Let me explain this, okay? So we're gonna look at some words from Jesus, and it just hit me last night right, as I was getting ready to teach. We're gonna look at some verses that were the first verses that were told to me after I was put on sabbatical. Sabbatical, Sabbath, it's the same, but sabbatical is, oh, you're gonna take a time out, mister, all right? 4 years ago on Memorial Day, I was exhausted. You know what happens when you're exhausted? You don't know you're exhausted. Can anybody relate to that? You just keep going because quitting is not an option. You got to produce. You got to show up every day. And every day you just feel like you're re-auditioning for your job and re-auditioning for your marriage. Anybody with me? Can anybody relate to that? Thank you. I don't even know about you. All right, so anyway. So I get put on sabbatical and praise God. The elders of my church took such great care of me, right? They put me on a plane to go down to Mexico City where I visited with my spiritual director, one of my best friends, James Henderson. And I got there on a Saturday, and he says, we have church at our house on Sunday. I said, I don't want to go to church. I'm mad at God right now. I don't even want to talk to him right now. Anybody else pray that prayer? Thank you. All right, anyway, so what time is church over? It gets over at noon. Okay, we'll be there at noon. So we got there at noon because it's Mexico. It was just starting. Welcome to Mexico. Okay, so anyway. And every Mexican in here is going, that's true. That is just true, all right? So I sit down, and they start singing all this worship in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish, but I'm crying because I'm exhausted. And then the guest speaker stands up, and then this is what he says. The timing is everything. This is the verse that you want to throw on me on day three of my sabbatical. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Now I'll give you rest. That sounds good. Take my yoke. And yoke is like two oxen. They're going to pull a harness together. They're yoked up. And Jesus, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And I interrupted right there in my mind and went, no, you're not. You're not humble. You're really hard. And this hurts. And I want my church back. And God taught me it's not my church. It's his church. But I stomped my foot like a three-year-old and said, you're not good. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find, what's that word? You'll find rest for your souls. I'm like, wouldn't that be nice? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So just leave that up there for a second. Do you think, just look at that. Do you think when Jesus said that, he was saying this, hey, listen, if you're tired and exhausted and carrying a whole lot, here's what I want you to do. I want you to yoke up with me, and I'll show you how you're gonna have to work even harder. for me to love you and accept you. And if you don't work hard enough every day and show up every day and prove to me that you've really changed, I'm not sure you're even saved. Do you think that's the heart of those verses? But that's how I'm living my life. And I think a lot of us are living our lives as followers of Jesus. What Jesus was promising was this: when you yoke up with him, follow him, walk with him, the end result will be not more burden, not more work, not more exhaustion. No, he promised more rest for your soul. And that word rest, I would underline that in your Bible. It's the same New Testament word for the Old Testament word Sabbath. How about this? Come unto me if you're really, really tired, and I will give you Sabbath for your soul. Sign me up. Jesus actually warned. He was railing against religion one day, just working his way through the crowd of what religion does to people. And he says this: here's what religion does. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Anybody been to that church? Well, you're a Christian if you do this and stop doing this and you never do that and you don't go to the places like that and you don't drink this, blah, 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 blah. And then maybe, and we're not gonna help you, but we'll judge you. Right? Been to that one? I've been to that one. All that to say this. A lot of this isn't even my notes. Back there, they're going, where is he? I don't know. Right? So, this might be the best thing I've ever said here. I don't know. It's pretty good. It goes like this. Here's what I believe. And I believe I'm right. But if following Jesus doesn't feel more like rest than it feels like a heavy burden, you're doing it wrong. All right? Can I get an amen, right? If following Jesus doesn't feel like rest, but feels like a burden, then you're doing it wrong, and it's a matter of time until you wear out, or your relationship with Jesus begins to feel more like obligation than it does deep connection, which is all that he wants with you, and it's a matter of time until you tap out. Not because you don't love Jesus, you're just tired. Now, please hear this, okay? I'm not saying, Jesus isn't saying, that when you follow Jesus, yoke up with Jesus, life is gonna be rainbows and unicorns. No, Jesus actually promised this. We're gonna look at this. He actually tells his disciples this: hey, I'm going back to heaven and it's gonna get rough and you're gonna get scattered across the whole planet, right? And then this is the next words that come out of his mouth. He says, now I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. And here's the promise. In this world you, what's the next word? It's not might, or there's a chance, or if you screw up. In this world you will have peace. Trouble, tribulation, heartache, right? But take heart, I have overcome the world. And it means this, is that whatever trouble that you're facing in your life right now, and this room, all these rooms, that list is long, right? Sickness, disease, divorce, death, getting sober, you know, bankruptcy, all these things, right? What Jesus is saying is the thing that will get you through it, that will give you peace, that will keep you going when you're exhausted and you just wanna go, I can't do this anymore, is you have to take a Sabbath, you have to take a breath and remember Jesus, who he is, what he's done, and what he still promises to do. And he says, when you do that, you will find Sabbath for your soul in a very unsabbathful world. See, in a crazy world where we live, where problems are surrounding you and the pace of life is moving so fast, right? If you don't stop, and I'm preaching to myself more than anybody here, right? If you don't stop on a regular basis and stay connected with Jesus, a day's gonna come when you need him in your day of trouble, and you'll reach out for him, and it's gonna feel like he's far away, right? Kind of like when you're running a marathon, if you wait until you're thirsty, it means you're already dehydrated, and so continuing the race is now gonna become harder than if you had intentionally just stopped every once in a while and refueled along the way. Are you following me? Because I'm not talking about running. I'm talking about Jesus. You're gonna reach out for him. I mean, we haven't talked and connected for a long time. He feels like a stranger, and it's really hard to trust a stranger. Well, one more passage to drive this home, and then we get really practical, and then we're gonna get out of here, right? The passage that we're gonna look at is referring back. It's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Fantastic chapter of the Bible, right? But it's referring back to what we were talking about back in Exodus and Deuteronomy. The Israelites come to the edge of the promised land, where God's offering them a permanent place to rest in him. The promised land was to be a place for God's people to rest in him, but they didn't believe him. They actually looked across the river and went, there's big people, there's giants over there, they're gonna kill us, well, God's not gonna take care of us. And so God says, okay, everybody take a lap, 40 years in the desert, all right, until they're all dead, and then a new group gets to go in, okay? Because of their lack of faith. Now, God might have helped us yesterday, but I don't know if he's gonna help us today. Hebrews chapter 4 is a warning for us, God's people, to not repeat their mistake. And I love these verses. Look at this. It says this: there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. That's us. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore, and this is important, make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. Look at the underlying part. Make every effort to enter that. That sounds like a contradiction. Make an effort to rest. But it's not a contradiction. It goes back to the original commandment. Hey, you got to take a breath. You got to keep the Sabbath day holy. Why? Because if you continue to work nonstop, you're going to unintentionally forget God and what he's done for you. When I say forget, it's like, now who's God? It's not like that. Forget is in this. You're going to get so bogged down. See if this feels like you're weak. You're going to get so bogged down in the pace of life that God and his grace and his power and his strength that are available to you are going to get pushed to the side and buried under the 50 urgent, on fire, not enough time to get everything done, rat race of life. Again, one day you're going to wake up exhausted or in a crisis. And then again, God's going to sound like a stranger because you haven't been with him in a long time. And you're going to, where are you? And he'll be there, but you just don't know him very well anymore. So the commandment is make every effort to enter into God's rest. How? By regularly carving out time to just take a breath and stop working. Not because all the work on your list is done. That your things to do list is never going to be done. Have you noticed that? There's just more list. And tomorrow, there's more list, all right? So we don't stop working because the work's done, but we intentionally remember who Jesus is and that he saved you through his work on the cross. All the work that needs to be done to save you has been done. Here's a quote, it is finished. And you can have peace and rest for your soul. Which brings me to what I think, again, this is my opinion, but I'm right, all right? I think the most exhausting part, I'm gonna describe so many of us right now. And I'm gonna describe the way I've lived most of my Christian life, all right? Here's the most exhausting part of following Jesus, ready? We're not totally convinced that we're actually saved and forgiven. It sounds so good though, doesn't it? Wouldn't that be nice? But really, be honest. Some of us think that if we make a mistake, like the big mistake, it must mean that we're not really a Christian at all, or at least we're not a very good one, and he'll probably go take it back and say, go to hell. Some of us work really hard at following Jesus, not because it brings us joy, but because we still think that we have to earn our salvation by doing stuff for God just to make sure that we're saved. We all have it memorized. We're saved by grace through faith and what Jesus has done for us on the cross. But just to make sure, we're gonna go, we're gonna show up at church at least twice a month, right? We're gonna tithe some of our income, all right? We're gonna volunteer in kids ministry. That's gotta count for something, right? I've financed or gone on two mission trips in the last, I know I'm saved, but that's got to count for something, right? When I get to those pearly gates, listen closely. It doesn't count for anything. If you're doing any of those things for any other reason except the joy of serving Jesus, then you're still trying to earn your salvation and you're actually denying grace, and that's exhausting. If you can't rest in what Jesus has done for you, then you're carrying a burden that you were never meant to carry. And if you do that long enough, you'll quit, because wondering every day if you've done enough to be saved is a sucky way to live. And it doesn't sound at all like the abundant life Jesus said he came to give you. But that's what we do. So let me summarize everything that we've hit so far and then find those cards, because we're gonna need them in a minute, okay? Sabbath is remembering what Jesus has done for us in the past 6 days and what he promises to do in the next 6 days. That's what today's about. Thank you for bringing it through this week. I'm gonna need you in the next one, all right? Sabbath means intentionally stop doing one thing so you can remember something more important. Sabbath is intentionally, you know, pushing pause and remembering the God that brought you out of slavery. You gotta remember that. We don't need to rehash our past. Dig up all the dirt every weekend in here, something like that. But don't forget where you came from, right? And don't forget where you would be without him, which just makes you want to just hold on to him even tighter, right? By the grace of God, I have a very different life without Jesus, right? Sabbath is intentionally resting from constant activity to honor and remember the one who paid for everything, for your freedom. Sabbath is intentionally remembering that you are saved by Jesus and not by anything that you did this week or might have to do next week. Please write this down. I'm saved, period. I'm saved, period. Jesus paid it all. So you gotta rest in that. Resting isn't passive, it's active. It's serving a greater purpose that allows thriving longer possible. I'm actively choosing to scale back my life, to build margin and space in my life so I can accomplish more in the long run and I can endure to the end. This is my life. In the past, I've lived my life like this, spent my money like this, spent my time like this. You know what this is called? Stress. But I'm going to dial back my life, and I'm going to live a little bit slower. I'm going to spend a bit less. I'm going to take a breath every once in a while. You know what this is called? Margin. And a better, here's the Bible word, peace. This is not peace. This is peace. All right? Get your card out, okay? This is the best card of all of them. That's just true because I wrote it. Because here's your assignment. I want you to stop doing stuff. So this isn't like, you gotta read 5 Bible verses this week, or you gotta serve the, you know, this, and you gotta volunteer over here. No, look at this, okay? Each day I will intentionally decide to not do something. This is the best homework ever. So you just want me to stop something? Yeah. And what do you want me to do instead? So that I can spend time doing something better that reminds me of something God's done in my life. Every day I wanna do that, once a day. My life is so busy, I'm gonna go like, you know what? I'm not gonna do that today. What am I gonna do? I'm gonna sit down in this chair, say, thank you, God. You know, hey, kids, did your parents tell you to do something this week? Thank you, Mom. I'm gonna go spend time with Jesus, all right? And so he's like, great, right. And you know what? They won't argue with you, like, go. Just, you know, except you gotta spend time with your mom today because it's Mother's Day. But anyway, so every day, hey, I'm gonna intentionally, like, this is what I normally do this time of day. I'm just not gonna do it. What am I gonna do instead? I'm not gonna go to a food kitchen. I'm not gonna go, you know, serve this over here. I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not even gonna open my Bible. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna sit down in this chair and take a breath and go like, thank you. I have not forgotten why I'm breathing. I have not forgotten why I'm sober. I have not forgotten why we're still together. And it's not anything I've done. Okay, all our campuses, let's stand up. We're gonna sing one more song. Hey, there they are, okay. And they chose this song and it was so great because the song is this, like he reigns, God reigns above it all. So if God reigns above it all, do you know what that means for us? We don't have to reign above it all. God runs the universe, which means you don't have to. You gotta show up. God is the one who puts marriages back together. You just show up and follow him. God is the one that can break your addictions. You would have already done it if you could. You just gotta follow him, all right? He's the savior, you're not. He's Lord of the universe, you're not. He's in control. Hate to bust your little bubble, you control very little in your life. But you gotta take a Sabbath, you gotta take a breath every once in a while and go, oh yeah, you run the universe, not me. And I find rest in that, don't you? So God, in this moment, we just worship your son, Jesus. I love how he described himself. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, and the Sabbath was created for us to find peace and rest for our soul in the one who provides it all for us, Jesus. And so in this moment, God, if nothing else happens in this 1 hour that we've spent together, is maybe we were able to take a breath, and we might pick it up in the parking lot, but for just a few minutes, we find some peace. And maybe on Monday, if we could just find a couple minutes and take a deep breath and go, I remember that you brought me out of slavery, that you set me free, that you hold all things together because you're the creator. And I can trust a God like that. So if I could do that Monday for a few minutes and then find a Sabbath moment on Tuesday, I just wonder if that would become the regular habit of my life and my soul would find rest in Jesus. Lord, we love you. We worship you, not so that you will save us, because we're rested in the fact that you already have. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much for watching Flatirons Church Online. We are creating new content and streaming every Sunday. So if you wanna stay connected with us, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. And hey, if you believe in what God's doing here, you wanna help us impact the world, go ahead and hit the Give Now button and you will help us reach people in a lost and broken world. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you right here next weekend.